Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me say this and you'll continue to hear me say it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all getting to worship God and praise His name. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your morning here doing exactly that. We are going to wrap up our series today entitled Transformed, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit today. And I know exactly what some of you already felt, heard, or experienced when I said the Holy Spirit. And I know what you're going to feel, hear, or experience when I say Spirit-led. Somebody popped into your head, or something popped into your head, or a feeling popped into your head whenever I said that. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But if you've been here for any amount of time, or you've ever heard me preach, you know that I like audience participation. So that means that if I ask a question, you answer. You get it?
Yes.
Thank you. Some of you shook your head and said yes, which is like a double answer, which is like one of my love languages, like if you do that. Okay, so here we go. How many of you need help? Okay, some of you need help with answering that question. You weren't sure what to do. Raise your hand, say me. Okay. We all do. We all need help. We all need help. Now, how many of you are good at asking for help? Some, I asked my connection group this past week, and they're like, I won't even ask for directions. I was like, why do you need to ask for directions, bro? I haven't had to need to ask for directions for like a decade. Like, when's the last time you had to ask for directions? Everybody in the car has a phone. The car has GPS. Where were you going? Okay? So listen, the thing is, we all are on a process. And on this process, we all need help. This process that we're on is called sanctification. This sanctification process is us becoming more like Jesus. Now, the good thing is we don't have to do this process alone. Over 18 years ago, we started coming to the church, Bridge City Church. But before that, I met my beautiful wife, Rachel. And we started this process of sanctifying Nick. Okay? Now, I had some questions. We were going to a Bible study, or a small church. It was like a house church that my father-in-law and his friends were trying to launch in McKeesport. They had a vision that they were going to revitalize McKeesport one house at a time. They were buying houses, renovating houses, all these things. It was amazing. I was helping in that process, painting. He asked me if I could paint. I said yes, because I needed a job. I couldn't paint to save my life. But he was paying me hourly, and I painted slow. It was a match made in heaven. He soon thereafter didn't ask me to paint anymore once that house was done. He was a smart man. But we were going, and during worship, I was like, Rachel, I'm running out of stuff to pray about during worship. She was like, Nick, you don't have to pray during worship. You can worship. I was like, what does that mean? She taught me some things. And then I was like, Rach, who do I pray to? Am I praying to God or am I praying to Jesus? And she was like, okay, I'll tell you some things. And then after that, I went to her. I said, hey, is your mom okay? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, during worship, was she having a stroke? She was like, no, she was being moved by the Spirit. I was like, who is that? She's like, listen, there's God the Father, there's Jesus the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit, our helper. I was like, so there's three of them. She's like, no. Yes, but they're one. And that is where the process started. Now, whenever I am really interested in something, I go all in. There's no holding back. None. I go all in. Whenever I set my mind on something, it's done. In every area of my life. I wanted a patio in my backyard. I started digging up my backyard. I didn't know how to put concrete slabs in my backyard. I got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore, and I called in the big guns, Jim. I'm dead serious. I know if I want to do it, I do it. If I want to learn about something, I learn about it. The Holy Spirit was exactly the same way. And I haven't stopped learning about him because he doesn't run out. Now, you may be here today and you may be someone that is just like I was 20 years ago and confused and not know, and that's okay. You're in the healthiest place in the world because he wants you to just say, I want to experience you. I want to walk with you. I want to know who you are. And I want everything that you have. And that's a process in which we're made into the image of Jesus. And we get to start that. And that happens through relationships. God began to transform me through my relationship with my now wife, then girlfriend. We've been talking about this every week. And through that relationship, I got to have many more relationships. And then I got to have my mind renewed. And then I got introduced to God's truth. You can be transformed. We can be transformed through relationships, through our minds being renewed, through those relationships, and through the revealing of God's truth. And we become more like Jesus through this. Now, this sanctification process, that's a big word. It can be a confusing word. But it's really an easy thing once you start to understand it. It's a process in which we become more and more like Jesus. Now, why is this process important? Because through this process, we get set apart from the world. Not just because you're in here and the world's out there. No, it's so that you can be in here and then go out there and change it. It's not to keep you separate, to protect you and put you in a little bubble. It's so that you can be in the world, but not of it. It's so that the world doesn't dictate your actions anymore. It's so that you can be set apart for God. That doesn't dictate your actions anymore. This does. We are being made holy, not happy. You want to know my least favorite saying in the world? Here, come here. You're the only one that answered. Anybody else want to hear it?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm lit up. I'm sorry. I got lots of energy. I drank a lot of coffee in between worship experience. Happy wife, happy life. Preach, pastor. I'm not called to make Rachel happy. I'm called to make her holy. It's in the Bible. It's Ephesians 5. And same thing for me. She's called to make me more like Jesus, and I'm called to make her more like Jesus. Happy wife, happy life is a lie. Pastor Rick taught me a long time ago to tell young men that they're not ready to get married until they're ready to tell that woman no. Because that's the hardest thing in the world, to tell the person you love no. That's the hardest thing as a man, to be able to do that. Because I want to give her the world. I've been telling her no for almost 14 years about wood floors. I'm dead serious. 14 years I've been telling her no. And you know why she wants wood floors? Not because of her. Not because of her, because our house is flooded with people. Connection group after connection group after connection group after connection group after connection group. And she's tired of scrubbing the carpets. And worrying about me getting infections. She doesn't want them for me, for her. She wants them for me. And I'm telling her no. It's not about us. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked, but it's about us being made holy over and over and over again. Philippians 1, verse 6, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This sanctification process, he's not going to stop. He can't stop, won't stop. He's going to finish it. Whenever we allow for the Holy Spirit to embark upon our lives, some of you are smiling because I said, can't stop, won't stop, and you heard Rockefeller Records. Like, I get it. I know. I'm from McKeesport. Being made into the image of God is a process produced not by imitation, but by inhabitation. Allowing for the Holy Spirit to dwell in your life, to live with you day in, day out, to be transformed, your normal, ordinary, everyday life. I've heard that before. As a matter of fact, I've heard that every Sunday for the last 8 weeks. Sounds like Romans 12, doesn't it? Huh. Ironic. Let's read it. Verses 1 and 2. So, here's what God wants us to do. God helping you. Huh, his Holy Spirit's going to help you. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it by yourself. Nothing he calls you to do are you called to do in your own might. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. He doesn't want anything from you except for you to give him your whole life. That's it, simple. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. What does that mean? When sin stops bothering you, when that stuff you're looking at on your phone stops bothering you, when the way that you're speaking to your kids stops bothering you, when the way that you're joking around at work stops bothering you, when the things you just do on the weekends because you're just doing you stops bothering you, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily, recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity within you. Being changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm so happy that the disciples had a very, 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 very confusing moment. You know, we think that we get confused. These guys got to walk with Jesus, experience Jesus, physically see him and touch him. They got confused. Jesus looked at them and like, listen, guys, I'm going to dip. I'm leaving. I'm going back to like heaven. You guys are cool, but I'm out. And they're like, no. We're not done yet. We want you here. Bruce, tissues? That was so much fun. I love it. But Jesus was explaining to them, I'm God, but I'm only one man. I'm so thankful that these next verses that we're going to read, Jesus explains that what was about to happen changed everything. Everything. John 14, verse 26. But the helper. Everybody say the helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach. Everybody say teach. You all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Jesus could only be with the disciples, either all of them or some of them or a couple of them. I'm so thankful that when Rob's golfing and I'm working, the Holy Spirit's with both of us, helping him with his short game and helping me with whatever I'm doing, helping you, dealing with your problems or my problems or whatever we are doing at any place, any time, any moment. He is helping us and with us. Now, Jesus could only be with Rob at Butler's golf course or with you wherever you're at. That doesn't sound great. But the Holy Spirit be everywhere at any given moment to stand alongside you, to instruct, to impart, and to remind us of the Word of God at any given moment, any place. I'm so thankful for that. John 16, verse 7, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, this next question, you totally don't have to answer. I'm giving you a free pass. This word advocate, this verse always impacts me and always makes me think about what an advocate does for you. How many of you have ever had an attorney? Okay, keep your hand up. Good. Okay, put your hand up. How many of you have ever had an attorney stand before a judge and speak before you on your behalf? Not as many hands went up. Some of them are like, all of you, though, lean forward a little bit. Why did the pastor have a judge and an attorney? What did he do?
It's my first week here. Be a felon. What do you do?
I'll never forget that day. It was Lennon's adoption day. Rachel and I, and our attorney, our advocate, lots of legal jargon. He spoke on our behalf. He answered lots of questions that we wouldn't have known the answers to. We knew our names. We knew our social security numbers. We knew our intentions. We didn't know the legal stuff. We needed an advocate. But we knew what we experienced after the advocate spoke on our behalf and the judge's gavel hit the stand. And he said, it's finished. It's done. I'll never forget that moment. Everything changed. And listen, Larry Paladin's still our advocate. He's retired. He's not practicing law as much, but he would still speak on our behalf. He won't do that for you. He's retired. But the Holy Spirit, he doesn't retire. He don't quit. He won't stop. He'll continue advocating for you. He won't go away. He'll continue speaking on your behalf. And we continue to become more like God and experience everything he has for us because of the Holy Spirit and walking with him. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us into the image of the Son of God. We need to stay close to God and in his Word, and the Spirit of God will speak to us and use everything to draw us closer to who God is and make us more into the image of God. It's amazing how all three of them work together. You know why? Because they're one. It took me 20 years to get to this point and start to really understand this. And I just scratched the surface. Rob's 37 years into this deal and he just put a big dent. Phyllis, she's probably up with the kids. She's 40 some years into this deal and she put a bigger dent. No, there's Phyllis. She was up with the kids. My son's 6. Miss Phyllis, she's my favorite. She's my favorite teacher. She's been impacting the next generation for decades. 2 Corinthians 3:18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Listen, it is my prayer that the veil is being removed for so many people today that we've put up to block us from who the Holy Spirit is, because we're scared. We're confused. We just didn't know. We just thought it was something we said growing up when we crossed ourselves because we were told, because it's a Catholic thing. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. No, he is powerful. He's an advocate. We'll talk more about who he is in a moment. But may this veil be removed and may we fully walk in everything that he has for us. May we fully grow into everything and the knowledge that he has. and the image that, of God that we are truly supposed to walk in, this sanctification process. You may be thinking, how do I do that? How do I grow? Matter of fact, there's a growth track tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 to 8. Huh. Who have I been waiting on this? There's food there. Sarah's Italian. She has some Italian, so there's going to be plenty of food. So if you didn't sign up, just go sign up later. I think there's going to be rigatoni. I saw it on Thursday. I almost cooked some. I'm just being honest. Telling the truth, shame of the devil. There was huge bags of rigatoni, like big, big bags. Biggest cap. Huge. They were huge. Allow for the Spirit of God to lead you and help you grow. You may be thinking, I'm not a learner. No. Stop believing that lie. You're a son or daughter of the King, and King's kids learn. Why? Because you have an advocate. You have the person of the Holy Spirit who will comfort you in everything. You have a helper. You have a teacher at all times. Every moment. At all times, you have a guide and a truth speaker. At every second of every day of your life, you have a gift giver. Gifts is one of my love languages. I love getting gifts. I also love acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch, and what's that other one, Rach? What is it? What's it? Quality time. That one's all right. I love you, babe. You have the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform you into the image of God. You have, this one's a fun one. He will convict you of sin. You know that you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's not a closeness, like I said earlier, when sin stops bothering you. We all have a flesh. Every single one of us have a flesh. I didn't see any of you walk in here without one. Thank God. We would have all been super sketched out. Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament, was used by God to write a majority of the New Testament. Why do I know what is right but continue to do what is wrong? He had a flesh. We all have a flesh that we're going to battle. And the Holy Spirit's going to point it out. The Holy Spirit is going to seal you as a believer. Constantly remind you who you are. You are marked. He is going to give you life. You ever see somebody come back from a missions trip or a Victory and Freedom weekend or worship night, and they just look different? Some of you are like, oh, their countenance changed. They just look different. That's not just because they got some sleep. They didn't get any sleep. Listen, the beds aren't comfortable in Honduras. Listen, I will tell you, I went on a mission trip to Spain, and we slept on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea with a breeze that was unbelievable, and I slept great. So there are mission trips that are like that. A lot of them aren't. But when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, there is a life-giving power and strength that overflows. And people see it. They see it. You look different. Your life is changed. Everything about you is different. Everything. You don't have to fake it till you make it anymore. Everything changes. Luke 11:13. So if you sinful people, I love when Jesus speaks. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I was insistent in asking for things. If I wanted it, the persistency upon which I asked, my requests were crazy. I remember I made a PowerPoint presentation once for a car. I was 14. I counted down the days until I got my permit, and I made a presentation for a car. Because I knew they had 720 some days to get ready for it. What are you seeking God for? What are you asking for? When's the last time you put a requisition before God? He longs to distribute everything that he has to his children. All you got to do is ask and walk it out with the Holy Spirit. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Everybody has a flesh. I saw everybody walk in. I'll see everybody walk out. It's been confirmed. The results are back. You all have one. For these are opposed to each other, and to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Things like that. I warn you as I warned you before. I love that part. Hey, I told you all this before. Now I got to tell you again. That those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if they live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Listen. It is not complicated. It is not. Pastor Tom, you now know what we're going to do. This man was, it's an honor and a privilege to walk with this man. It always has been. A lot of you may wonder why calling Pastor Tom. You're like, wait, I thought we just had our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, and our campus pastors at each of our four campuses, which is true. But this man will always be and always has been a pastor in my life. It is a position of honor which he holds in my life. And that'll always be there. So that is why I say that. Because that is who he is to me. I just wanted to clarify. But right now, you're all going to put your Daniel Tiger hats on and you're going to use your imagination. He's the Holy Spirit right now. Okay? So in order to be with the Spirit, you need to be in lockstep with the Spirit. So what does that mean? That means when the Spirit leads, you follow. No matter what. So Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you.
Oh, first step. Yep. Ready?
Have your way. Where you lead, I follow. It's like the Gilmore Girls. Where you lead, I will follow. My wife's love language just got spoke.
We're going in this direction. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Got this.
I'm getting the hang of this.
Walking.
Your voice is very easy to listen to when I listen.
Should be. I'm Holy Spirit.
Soothing.
Stop.
Ooh.
Right now we're going to turn around and go in the other direction.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
You're ready.
Ready.
Turn around. Back this way. Okay. Keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to let you walk on your own.
Okay.
But I'm right here with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
All right.
Go ahead. Listen to me. I said walk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, wait.
Okay. All right.
Let's try it again.
Yeah, you gotta listen.
Okay. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Not with you, but with everyone.
Yeah, I'm you.
Ready?
It's a thing. I came right back to you, though.
You did. That's good. Yeah. Keep walking. You're good? You listened well, then, right?
Oh. Huh. It's not confusing. And the longer you listen, the easier it is to hear. The longer you listen, the easier it is to receive correction. The longer you listen, the easier it is to understand conviction. The longer you listen, the easier it is to understand that condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction does. Seeking the power of the Holy Spirit every day. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Freedom. That's his purpose. Obviously, all those gifts to help you walk in self-control, to help you experience joy, to help you not only be a kind person, but to walk in kindness. It's different. But to help you walk in freedom, because free people are able to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Free from what? Free from all your stuff. Because the red letters in my Bible in John 8, verse 36 say, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. The worship team's going to start to make their way up. And this freedom that we get to walk in, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what is there? I want like a brave heart scream every time that I read that. Every time I read that verse, I see a blue-faced, horse-riding, sword-yielding Bruce Willis. Freedom! Mel Gibson, Bruce Willis, same guy. Same guy. Listen, and Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Mel Gibson, Bruce Willis, tomato, tomato. You've all made mistakes too. You just didn't have a microphone. You weren't recorded. I got everything else right. His whole entire get up. I just misspoke the name. Yeah, you all got it. Let's go back to the fact that I'm still walking in freedom. And the Holy Spirit's still guiding me. And some of your past need to die hard. That's why I said Bruce Willis. A pastor can always make it work. See, you all thought I made a mistake. I just set you up. Some of you aren't fully walking in freedom yet. And we're going to receive prayer. We're going to have a moment of prayer. We're going to have time for that. But so if the Son sets you are free indeed. Free from what? Free from your past, free from your shame, free from your stuff. So here we go. If you don't have a day, a time, a moment, a place where you fully receive the freedom that the cross provides, you instantly become righteous. You instantly become justified. And you instantly begin the sanctification process. Let today be your day, February 25th, 2024, White Oak, Pennsylvania, 3001 Jack's Run Road. And I want you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done. Publicly. Repent of your past, receive his forgiveness, and ask him to be the leader of your future. Someone's going to pray with you. Someone's going to encourage you, walk you through that, help you understand what that fully means. But your first step is saying, God, I need that. I've never received that. I never did that. We got to celebrate. We got to rejoice with heaven this morning during our first worship experience. And we want to do it again during our second. If that's something you've never done, just reach your hand to heaven and say, God, that's me. I've never fully received that freedom that the cross provides. Don't worry about the people sitting in front of you or behind you or beside you. This is all about you and Jesus right now. Maybe you received that gift and you tried to return it. Anyone at all. Our prayer teams are going to start to make their way forward. And as they do, I'm going to read Romans 8 and remind us of who we are. And you can stand to your feet. And as we prepare to receive prayer this morning and let go of all of the things that we may be carrying that's keeping us from walking in freedom, may we be fully reminded of who we are as we're led by the Spirit of God. Some of you may be coming forward this morning to receive prayer, to just receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be coming forward this morning to receive prayer, to walk in healing. Some of you may be coming forward to receive prayer today, to just receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be coming forward to receive prayer today because you were scared to raise your hand and receive the forgiveness and the leadership of the cross. Whatever it may be, I want you to be reminded of who you are as a child of God. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call upon Him as Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in His glory, we must also share in His suffering. Listen, as you come forward in prayer, I want you to know that you are a joint heir with Christ, and everything that He has as the Son of God, it is available to you. So when you step out of your seats to receive prayer, I want you to come forward as a son or daughter, not as a beggar, not as somebody that's going to plead, but as somebody that's going to come forward with a petition to God, wanting and desiring as a child, so eager that what you're asking for, what you're seeking God for, that you're going to believe it with all your faith, all your might, all your body, all your soul. So as you come forward to receive prayer, I want a faith to come out of you with a desire and just an expectation for God. So Father God, as people begin to come down the center aisles for prayer, God, I pray for every prayer to be prayed in faith, in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Listen, we're going to continue to fill this place with just the presence of God and expect for people to receive all that they're asking for.